to 20. But then tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. I will also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. This is the word of God.
There are some days in life that are unforgettable. You go to Paris a few days ago, maybe you're a tourist. Notre Dame burns down, part of it. You watch the spire crumbling. On a more joyful note, some of you younger people, you study for years, you eventually get that diploma or degree, and every day, if you look at it, it's a reminder of something bigger. This is an unforgettable day, right? For you, Matthias and Simone and Dylan and Andrew, it's a great day. I mean, Resurrection Sunday. Could there be a better day to go public with Jesus? Jesus risen from the dead. And it was unforgettable. Because he rose from the dead, all the disciples would go on to take their world for Jesus. Not because of a dream, not because of some story written in some book, because Jesus is really alive. If Jesus is risen, think about this. If Jesus is risen, what else matters? Let's pray. Some of us have seen baptisms perhaps many times, Lord. For others of us, it's something new. And we thank you today that it's on this day, particularly in the Christian calendar, that we remember Jesus risen from the dead. And if he's alive and if he rose, that means he's coming again. And in the short span of our lives, we want to do all we can to know that we have met the risen Jesus and that we are ready for his coming. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the most difficult things in life is to get perspective. Just imagine the Saturday before the Sunday when Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, all the disciples could think about was their gloom and their hopes being dashed. But I wonder if a week after Jesus rose, I wonder if they even remembered Saturday. There are all sorts of things, important things that seem important at the time, which we soon forget. Now, I know that Dylan's a great swimmer and that Andrew's a great golfer. I wonder if you guys can remember a swim meet that you went to or a golf tournament, maybe, Andrew, that you won. And so much seemed to depend on the outcome. But a couple of weeks later, whether you won or lost, well, that's not really important now. Sometimes it takes really big things to realize that smaller things don't matter. Listen to this letter from a young girl, Lucy, to her parents. Dear Mom and Dad, I know it wasn't easy for you to send me to Scotland, to varsity, but I want you to know that I've dropped out of the course. I met a guy called Steve. I fell in love, decided to travel the world with him. As you read this, we're either in the air or in another country, and by the way, I've taken the money you've given to me and put it in his account. And then she says right at the end, and by the way, nothing in this is true. I'm still at university. The money's still in the account. Steve doesn't exist. I did get a D for chemistry this summer. I hope you won't be too upset. The resurrection puts everything else in perspective, brothers and sisters. I mean, if Jesus is alive, and I want to look as briefly as I can at three things that do not matter if Christ was not risen, and then two things that do matter because he's risen. If Jesus were not risen, your faith would be useless. I mean, Julia read that to us from Paul's letter. We've seen both in the picture of baptism and the testimonies that without faith, I mean, baptism becomes something really empty. If Jesus is not risen, brothers and sisters who love Jesus today, why read your Bible? I mean, why believe? Why put your faith not in a philosophy or in a set of rules or in yourself? Why put your faith in Jesus? Now, I'm so glad Sladen led us in the Apostles' Creed. What if Jesus were born of the Virgin Mary, which we believe? What if he fulfilled all the prophecies about his suffering and the cross? What if he went right into the city of death? And he did. He went through those gates into death itself. What if he did all of that and then on the third day did not burst out of the grave? How foolish they would have felt. No wonder Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, if Christ has not been risen, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If Jesus is in his grave, why take seriously anything I'm going to say about him today? But if he rose, why should you not take it very seriously? It's not my job today to convince you that Jesus rose from the dead. So that's not my job. There's more than enough evidence for that. If you just take the time, as Andrew did in his testimony, take the time from the empty tomb to the existence of the church to what we've heard today in those powerful testimonies. And I want to say to you who are baptized that your faith is not useless. It's God who sent his son, Jesus. It's Jesus who came to buy your pardon. It's Jesus who intervened in your life. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. We have somewhere in the church office a kind of a stamp. And sometimes people come to me if they want to, you know, have evidence to prove that they're still alive. I need to stamp a document or to certify that their ID card is genuine. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the stamp of God. You can trust in this man. Jesus is the Son of God, risen from the dead. And you know, it helps all of us who follow Jesus. These are not easy days to follow Jesus, especially if you're younger. You've got to stand out. Well, they've always been difficult days, but it seems to me we've got to be very clear about what we believe and what Jesus is accomplishing in his day. Here is a Peter who denies Jesus before the cross and resurrection. The same Peter will be crucified on a different kind of cross, upside down, because he feels he's unworthy to be crucified in the same way as Jesus. Because Jesus is alive, Mark, the Apostle Mark, will go to Alexandria and he'll be dragged with horses to his death. Because Jesus is alive, Luke, who wrote his gospel in the book of Acts, would be hanged in Greece for preaching the gospel. Because he's alive, James, John's brother, would be beheaded in Jerusalem. And it made such an impression on someone who watched, an officer who watched, that he confessed faith in Jesus and was beheaded too. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. It's real. Jesus is alive. If he's risen, your commitment to Jesus is never in vain. But secondly, I want you to notice that if he were not risen, your hope would be hopeless. I mean, if faith is faith, then it's got to be hopeful. Faith doesn't survive without hope. Hope demands faith. And so Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, if Jesus is not raised, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Listen to this. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Hang on to those words, only for this life. We pity those who have no hope, or whose hope is disappointed. A couple of weeks back, the Israelis planned to put a spacecraft on the moon, $100 million. They made a big deal of it, and it took a selfie of itself. Can you imagine a spacecraft taking a selfie of itself? About 26 kilometers away, then the engine cut off and it was lost. Last Monday, people were watching, hoping against hope, that a steeple would be saved in a building. Whether it was the moon landing or the spire, hope was hopeless. What people wished was not certain. By rising from the dead, Jesus Christ says, you have a hope. You have a hope that outlasts time itself. This is a timeless hope. It's a hope that can't be crumbled by heat or flames if you watch Notre Dame. This is the hope for which Christians live. Peter says in another passage of Scripture, 2 Peter 3 verse 12, we look forward to that day. Because he's alive, we look forward to the day when he's coming. And we're looking forward. We're not living hopelessly. We're looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Jesus has come to make all things new. This is the hope. And the resurrection says, amen to that. I like the way N.T. Wright puts it. He says, the message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled to you. I don't know everybody here. Do you know this new world? Do you see Jesus with the eyes of faith? Can you see him at work in our world? For those of you who baptized today, you are already people of the new world. You're not living for a kingdom that's going to perish. I don't think that anyone who just loves beauty should be rejoicing that Notre Dame, part of it was destroyed. What an iconic building built to show how small we are and how big God is. But if we see the risen Jesus today, there's no despair. If only in this life we have hope, we are the most to be pitied. Didn't Jesus say when he left his disciples, I will be with you always? Think about that on this resurrection day. We hope life is worth living because he lives. And then, of course, if he were not risen, your life would be purposeless. I think that tells us why every Christian, I hope that if you're a believer and you haven't been baptized, I hope you'll see the importance of that and the message it sends. For every Christian, it was a picture of faith and hope about our purpose. Why am I here in this world for just a few years of time? Am I just here for myself, my story? Or is there a bigger story? Can it be that the God who invaded the world in his son Jesus has come to call me to live for him? By the way, Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, had a purpose. Before he was saved, his purpose was to mock Christians and try and destroy the message, as if you ever could destroy the message of the Son of God. God intervened in his life and said, I've got a bigger purpose for you, Paul. Baptism says to us, what we've seen today, that says to us, I've done with trying to think that I am enough, that my righteousness is enough to get me into heaven, that I've just got enough goodness, more than the next man, to get me into heaven. Baptism says, I'm done with that. Baptism says, I'm putting all my confidence in the only perfect man who ever lived, the one who died and rose again. In him do I trust. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're saying, how do I know if I love Jesus? It's a good question. Younger people, it's a very good question to ask. Don't wait till you're my age before you start asking that question. Later, Paul says, if Jesus were not raised, why would we endanger ourselves every hour? Why would we face death every day? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're willing to take risks for the gospel. You're willing, if you're called upon, to lay down your life for Jesus Christ. That is why the gospel is spreading in the areas where Christianity is persecuted the most. Paul says later, if the dead are not raised, let's just live for today. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But if he is raised, then let's live for him. I tell you, it's a joy as a pastor to see some of these younger folk being baptized. I want to say to you today, don't forget why you've been saved. I hope that in the next 10 years, you will have more love for Jesus Christ, more passion for the kingdom than you have now. If Jesus is not risen, nothing else matters. But then if Jesus is risen, there are some things, nothing else matters in comparison. If he is risen, it's who you are and not what you have that matters. And I think, again, baptism is a wonderful picture of that, because much of our culture today, maybe not just today, but particularly today, ties our identity to what we have, so that we may be tempted to measure people not in terms of the fact that they are created in the image of God, but what they can contribute to society. At our prayer meeting on Wednesday, one of the brothers who we were praying with spoke of a young doctor who was speaking about his mother, Stuart's mother, and was almost dismissive, as if she'd outlived her useful life. Where does that worldview come from? It doesn't come from the gospel. It comes from the thinking that says that I'm someone if I've got something to give. And the more I can give and the more I can invest, the more I matter. Now, what we've seen today in baptism says exactly the opposite. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, all the rules change. You can choose to live your life today for material gain. What use is that if you gain the world and you lose your soul? We can live for the illusion that money is everything. 700 million euros, is it, donated to Notre Dame. Money is everything. But what if there's more than life? What if by rising from the dead, Jesus proves that it's who you are and not what you have that matters? Well, a word for those of you who baptize today. In 20 years' time, some of you might be blessed materially more than you ever thought. Andrew, you could be a professional golfer. Where are you? Could be a professional golfer. No pressure. As long as you're living not for the gifts, but for the giver. See? That's the point. That's what baptism says. I take your values, Lord. I take your values. I choose to live for you. I choose to treasure you. The very wisest investment I could ever make in this life is not in bricks and mortar. It's not even in what I can accumulate. It's in you. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's why I asked Julia to read that verse. And when you're a new creation, everything changes. Because you're no longer seeking your own kingdom. You seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Following Jesus is a joyful business. Following Jesus is a serious business too. And then, of course, if Jesus is risen, I'm going to end with this. It's where you're going and not what you keep that matters. It's where you're going. You know, if we miss this, we're going to have a faulty understanding of the gospel and baptism. Baptism is about dying, right? It's beautiful symbolism, dying, but it's also about rising. You're dying to rise again. So we die to a life of selfishness where it's just me at the center of my life. And then we rise to a life of making much of Jesus. So it's not that we're just sort of adding Jesus to our lives. When you're a new creation, now you're living to make much of him in every circumstance. By the way, I think that's part of what Paul means later when he says death has been swallowed up by victory. Over what? Yeah, the penalty of sin, we know that. Over the power of sin. And eventually over the presence of sin when we see Jesus and are like him. But victory over living as if Jesus never lived. Victory over living with that kind of mindset. Because if he were still in the grave in Jerusalem and his body saw decay, why would we follow him at all? So Paul, what makes you live not for the moment but for eternity? And what motivates you? What motivates you to keep on believing, keep on serving, even when it gets tougher? Easy answer. If Jesus is risen, he's overcome every enemy, including death. So whether I live or die is not the issue. In fact, the issue is whether I live or die, am I making much of Jesus Christ? You know, in another verse of Scripture, I like the way Paul sums up the Christian life, because it's so wonderful to think about that on this day of baptism. In Philippians 1, verse 20, he's not writing his words from a hotel. In Philippians 1, he's writing words from the thick of the battle. When he's in chains, he's expecting possible execution. If you knew you would die tomorrow, what would you say? That would reveal a lot about your life, right? Where you are with God. What would you say? And he says, and it blows my mind, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage if I die, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm a winner every time, whether I die or whether I live. Notre Dame has been on my mind just as it's been on many of your minds, because many people have their own thoughts about it. But let me try and give you a bit of clarity. Why are people so perturbed? Because they just can't think what Paris might be like without Notre Dame as we knew on the horizon. In other words, if we have Notre Dame, we win, but if it perishes, we lose. See? So we spend billions restoring it. Contrast with Paul. My concern is not whether I live or die. Why? Because if Jesus is risen, whether I live or die, I've got all that I need. So it's not whether I will live or die, it's how I will exalt Jesus, whether I live or die. Some time ago, a Christian believer was facing death after a heart attack. He loved the Lord, and he said, here's the way I look at it. If I die, I get to see my parents. Resurrection hope. Some of you have been bereaved recently. If I die, I get to see my relative. If I live, I get to see my son grow up. But what matters is that Christ is with me. So either way, I win. When you get to the point that death itself doesn't even matter, you can handle anything, pretty much, that life throws at you. Which is why we sang, because he lives, I can faith tomorrow. So Andrew and Dylan, and Simone and Matthias, we rejoice with you. This is a great day. I mean, it's an unforgettable day. But actually, it's a wonderful day for any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus today, I say to you, brother and sister, your faith is not useless. Your hope is not hopeless. Your life is not pointless. And if you're not yet a believer, I pray that by the end of this day, you will see the invitation to enter into this new world in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come with the sin that you may still carry. Come with your guilt to all that Jesus is. Come to the cross where Jesus laid down his life to rise again, that we might be part of the new heavens, the new earth, the new family of God. Join with me as we pray. We've seen so much today. Let's spend a few moments in silence thinking about not the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That is indisputable. But asking the question, why did he rise? If you're not yet a Christian, won't you ask the Lord in these moments to show you the beauty of Jesus, which will make you want to deny and give up any sins, put off any pride or greed or lust, and follow him. And where you are, you can simply ask him, to show you who he is. And if you honestly ask him to forgive your sins and open up heaven to you, he will show you the beauty of being able to live so that you can say, whether I die or whether I live, it's gain. It's gain every way. And then for we who know you and love you, Lord, if Jesus is risen, then life does matter. Some things don't matter. But living for you and living for what will last matters right through into eternity. May our hearts be encouraged today as we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen and God's people say he is risen indeed. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Great day in the Christian calendar. Because of that day, everything is different. Death is dead, love is won. Christ has conquered. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank you for what we've seen today, which has strengthened our faith in the living and reigning Lord Jesus Christ. And now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all those he loves, both now and forever. And we say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen.